Welcome to another edition of CryptoCast from Chicago Crypto Capital. I'm Jeff Carlin, your host, and with me this week is Brian Amoa from Chicago Crypto Capital. Brian, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jeff. How are you?
Very well. And on this episode, we're focusing on one of the mystical pieces of crypto technology is mining. People say mining, you know, what is it? I don't understand it. You try to explain it to someone and you get this glazed look over people mostly. But it's really not as kind of complicated as it seems, but yet it still kind of is. What do you guys do with mining over at Crypto Capital?
So interesting story. Chicago Crypto Capital's first experience with cryptocurrency was in mining. You know, we had explored it, we looked at it, and ultimately we went into a different direction. But what mining is, in essence, it's consensus. It's securing the network. And mining is a term that describes how new coins are entered into the system while simultaneously verifying the old transactions.
And people do that through extremely complex algorithms and technologies such as...
There's three ways of mining. It's proof of work, which is the Bitcoin one. Everyone is giving computing power in exchange to join a lottery. It's a lottery in the sense that they're solving this complex problem that gets harder and harder and harder. So it takes more and more computing power to do this. And it's kind of more or less luck, though, who wins it, you know, because everyone's just kind of running it. You know.
Right. No one has an edge on anybody else because of previous understanding.
No. It's just computing power straight.
So right.
In essence, mining is running a computer algorithm to secure the transaction on the network using your processing powers, because there's no central database that's running and paying for this. So they're asking the whole group to do this.
And the whole idea of cryptocurrencies is decentralized. Mm-hmm. This is how they achieve that, by taking the power away from one core building, like a bank or
a
government.
And giving
it to everyone. Got it. Everybody lives through this, being every ledger that's transferring. And we've talked about this in the last podcast, but the idea that I make a transaction to you and I both make reference of that it says, hey, this is what happened. It's verified because we both are verifying it. But then someone needs to verify it on a grander scale.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, it takes lots of power.
Mm-hmm.
And so how has that kind of changed? Because I know back in the day, people used to do this on small powered laptops or even simple phones maybe. But now people are like, oh, the price of graphics cards have gone through the roof because of mining. What's the correlation there? What is that?
The reason it gets more difficult, there's more people using the network, more requirements for the transactions. So you need more processing power.
And something like a graphics card, which people will see this in the news, or you see it in the headlines, that these things are designed to do insanely quick, multi-stream calculations where they can take multiple transactions at once and understand it and verify those numbers. Because we're talking numbers that have 65 plus digits to them.
Oh, yes.
And so it really takes a lot of power.
A lot of power. An individual computer would take 7 million lifetimes to solve this. So, the idea is if you could get everyone in the network to solve these, then it brings it down. And then, you have a thing that one individual can't really hack on any reasonable scale, but the group, is reasonably going to be breaking this code every 10 minutes or so.
And that's the beauty of it, the security behind it, is that it is such a massive scale that current world equivalency of it would be essentially going and knocking off, robbing every bank in Manhattan in one foul swoop.
Exactly.
To
getting everyone to agree that you changed their balance.
Right, exactly. And everyone would say,
that guy's valid.
He took all my money.
It's perfectly all right.
Right. But so is mining legal? I mean, is it something that people can do or should do?
It is. This is, of all the, some of these areas have had in cryptocurrencies have had SEC issues or CFTC, regulatory in who's over this or who's over that. Mining has been fairly non-controversial. Once again, like everything else, if you're talking legal advice, talk to your lawyer. But with mining, the whole concept of it is, in essence, you're minting, software data. The government doesn't really have any issue for that.
For the layperson who wants to utilize or maybe get into this technology of cryptocurrencies, the mining piece probably is a lesser piece for them. I mean, what you're looking at is probably the implementation for securing data with this technology, or?
I would say so. At this stage, the days of someone just whipping up their laptop and getting, hundreds of bitcoins just by running this are over. The players right now they tend to be big corporations or big mining pools with, just massive amounts of computing power behind them.
And the end goal is to essentially accrue the coins, which then you could turn around and spend on other people's goods and services that it would accept them.
Yes, but like I said, the average person is just far removed from mining at this point. And, you know, and I'm not saying this can't be done, but, you know, like any other business, you just need your research, your numbers, and make sure, you know, it makes sense. There's a lot of things that come into this. What's your energy bill? What's your cost of your graphics card? You know, are you buying them wholesale, or what are you mining? So there's a lot of things that go into it, like every other business. The average individual, you know, is not likely to get mining. It's a very tough business.
And how does mining impact the value day to day or week to week of cryptocurrencies as it stands now?
So the miners have an impact in cryptocurrency in the sense that they are the ones who are influencing the supply. So depending on, you know, mining operations, and think of this almost like mining, and this is where there's not a lot of analogies, but think of this, there's an analogy with the gold and silver miners here. Whenever, you know, mining capabilities for whatever reason go down, and that could be because, let's say, the coin becomes unprofitable, or let's say the coin has a drop. Bitcoin's a good example. You know, there were so many transactions on this, so many people in this, that the cost of mining cost, you know, X amount, and they had their break-even point, and then Bitcoin surged over to 20,000, but then when it came back down to 3,000, their break-even point at this time, let's say for some of these companies, was at 6,000 or 7,000, you know, they shut down. So then that slows it down, slows down their transactions, and it increases the price of Bitcoin, you know, just like if mining companies are shutting down their operations. So there's a supply and demand. Those guys are the focal points of the supply and demand.
And that's long-term too, because, I mean, the whole kit and caboodle for Bitcoins was, you know, it's a finite value, but what is that? I mean, is it 20 Bitcoins, 100 Bitcoins? I mean, how do these systems work? Is there a cap to
them? So there's it's called the mining reward, and currently it stands at 12 and a half Bitcoins. So every 10 minutes or so, another block is published, and whoever publishes this block gets 12 and a half Bitcoins. Now, in about a year, I believe it's going to go down to, it's going to be halved, and periodically it's going to be halved until, in essence, there is no mining reward, but that's when the last coin is mined, which theoretically may never happen.
Would need lots of technology and power. The future of mining, it's separate than people using Bitcoin. I mean, people, you and I are transacting, we are completely firewalled from the people who are mining, because we're not, you know, there's no interaction there because they're just verifying what we're doing. But how does that translate, or that technology translate, into something like a security for like a business? How would they utilize something like this?
So this is a great question. So mining is one of several different consensus mechanisms, and consensus is just a word of the way you secure a network. So mining is another name of proof of work, and this is the one that Bitcoin uses, and a lot of the currencies that, you know, are intended to be distributed widely use. Now, if you have a private network or a smaller network or a network where maybe top level of security isn't needed, a lot of people go into what's called a proof of stake, which works almost like shareholders. The more you have, the more voting rights you have, and think of it just like voting power. So someone like a school, they don't really need to have a bunch of machines running to keep their attendance records. In essence, they could just have a proof of stake. Maybe the proof of stakeholders are just the principal, and that's him, or the board, or however they want to distribute it, or whoever the administrators now would be administrators then, and it would work in that fashion.
Now, if I were running like a business, like a, let's say I was a healthcare company, mm-hmm. obviously tons of data that needs to be secured. That would, mm-hmm. you know, if I let it go, if it got out there, I'd be on the hook for lots of damages to lots of different people. Mm-hmm. How does this technology interplay there? I mean, if I'm working in a healthcare service, do I need miners? Would I need somebody mining?
Great question. So the miners do not have access to the data. I know that's crazy when you're saying they're publishing it, but think of it like maybe an airplane or a Brinks truck that is, you know, moving something that's already locked up. They cannot see a transaction between you and I. We sent something, we sealed it up, and we sent to a post office or FedEx. You know, these companies, they don't know what's in there. Theoretically, they're not opening, but they cannot open it. They're locked in. So the healthcare companies, their determination on which network you use is really depends on which coin you use. So if you're going to use a Bitcoin-based system, it's going to be proof of work. If you're going to use Ethereum, that's going to be proof of work. But maybe if you're going to use Ripple, for instance, use a different mechanism.
And so mining is their takeaway is that it's really a use of energy to verify what's happening. And
exactly.
Therein lies the security is
exactly.
That it's, again, it's a decentralized security system that is working to verify everything we do and make in a crypto world, make it secure.
In a nutshell, that's exactly right. You're by requiring so much energy to publish this that no real individual can realistically do, it's making the ledger itself safe. That's the core of this. And by decentralizing this and taking the task of doing all the processing power to the group instead of one individual, you've reduced, in fact, eliminated the ability for bad actors to just, you know, whether they're inside or outside your organization, to destroy this. It's on several places, and it's protected by, you know, the computing power of the whole network. It's just really securing this. It's kind of the group idea that we kind of always refer to, that original white paper, this idea that the group can protect themselves. You don't need one person to protect it for you.
And in closing, the future of mining, as far as it would be for the layperson, it seems like this is going to be its own, you know, commerce, that people are going to develop companies or organizations just mm-hmm. to mine for you, to mine, to verify your transaction, to be your mining service. Because like you said, the buy-in is so huge with the technology and the energy use and the time that were required to it. An individual group or organization wouldn't start their own mining farm.
No, it's like a utility almost. I mean, people wouldn't start their own power company really, realistically. Or
hence the name mining.
Yeah, mining. You know, it is like that. And, you know, that being said, there are individuals who do mine. You know, they join mining pools. It's not something you cannot do. But this idea you're going to mine yourself and get 12.5 bitcoins, you know, $100,000 plus at today's prices, isn't going to happen. But, you know, to use your computer and plug on network, I mean, there's always going to be people doing that. But in the future, you know, you're going to see a lot of people taking a look at, you know, the various different sort of consensus mechanisms, including mining, to secure their network.
Excellent. Where can we learn more?
You can check our webpage, www.chicagocryptocapital.com.
I'm Jeff Carlin. He's Brian Amoah. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on the CryptoCast from Chicago Crypto Capital.